Last time on Late and Legends.
Okay, so I just kind of just sort of brush off, kind of, I just kind of just touch the tree, kind of just haphazardly. Tree. we seeketh your information.
Wait! Which can mean only one thing. That tree knows Elvish.
Or Val knows Tree-ish.
I do know Tree-ish.
Alright, so what's the plan from here? Like, we came to a new elf town. There are no elves here. What do we do?
Val, tell her the big thing.
So, speaking with that great tree in the central courtyard.
Okay, Val, you spoke to a tree. Hey, Val, you're not taking those mushrooms anymore, right?
Well, that's rude.
Mordecai, you explain to me how this guy's talking to trees and this tree is telling him what to do. We're just gonna sit here while a magical tree tells us to wait.
Do you have any better ideas?
Okay, Val, you stick right by the tree because you can talk to it.
Perfect.
So you guys are sitting in your respective positions by the tree, and you all kind of make your way ready for bed. Val, you wake up at the roots of the tree. The moon is glowing, bright and full, down from its place in the heavens, and you can see that light continues to travel through only the tiniest little hole in the wall at the front of the building, directly onto the tree sitting in the middle of the courtyard. Giovanni runs into the tree, and he's gone.
Whoa.
Ah, shit. Let's go.
Okay, double time, yeah.
Last time we left off, you guys are traveling through this underground facility. You're not quite sure what to call it at this point. You turn a corner, and you see that there's an opening that extends down this T-junction in this hall. And at the very end of it, you can see groups of eyes, red, blinking, then looking back at you.
Oof.
I've still got light cast on my crowbar, right? Or have we been in here an hour?
No, you have not been in here an hour yet.
Okay.
So the radius that you can see right now is the radius of your crowbar. I believe you also casted something on John as well.
Yeah. So we should each have, I think, like 60 feet of light or something like that.
Yeah, he lit my torch with his light.
Oh,
light
cool. Skill.
Yeah, double, double range. All right, and so that's the range that you can see. All you can see right now is kind of these eyes blinking back at you, though you can see the form of one creature in the very left of this room that is blinking at you, looking at you, but it doesn't look human. Certainly doesn't look goblin. In fact, it sort of looks like a large shrub to you, almost like a creature that is hunched over with shrubs coming and growing out of the back of it, and it's just staring at you, unblinking, and then all of a sudden its mouth opens and you can see sharp, pointy fangs.
Ugh.
I'm gonna need everybody to roll initiative.
Oh boy.
Oh wait, can I try something first?
I'll let you do one thing.
Nathi Lanak Nahi, or whatever hello in Elvish is, at the top of my lungs.
Aw, nice.
All right, you say those exact words, and nothing happens.
Okay. But they're not more angry.
What about, what up, buttercup? Mordecai got a 9.
Giovanni rolled a 17.
Val, despite taking a lifetime, rolls a 21.
Alright, awesome. Okay, so at the top of the turn order is something you cannot see. Something out of the very back of the room. And it rushes towards you. Specifically, it rushes towards Giovanni. Giovanni's in front of all three of you guys, so he's kind of in between you guys and whatever's on the other side in that darkness. And it comes rushing towards him. And as it does, it sort of looks like the darkness is moving towards him. But you guys know it's not the shadows that you're seeing at the end of the hall, because the eyes on this thing are moving closer and closer, despite it taking no form.
Oof.
It moves up to him.
Horrifying.
Oof, I don't like that one bit.
How is that?
Like shiny things, it's coming for your armor.
Thing, I'm a holy roller. Is he attacking me?
He is attacking you. He reaches out to you, Giovanni, and grabs onto you.
Oh.
Well, we're off to a great combat here, guys. That's a nat 20. All right, so that's 10 points of necrotic damage as it reaches onto you, and you can feel your skin tingle at its touch as it drains into it.
Ah, be gone, foul beast. Ooh, are these fuckers undead?
One way to find out.
I hope so, I think.
You have no idea. Geo, you just lost 1 point of your strength.
Permanently?
Well, temporarily.
Okay, I'm gonna just adjust it in the thing. But remind me to add it back after. Because that'll automatically fix all the rolls and stuff, right?
Yeah, it will. So okay. What is your strength normally?
It was 17, and now it is 16.
Okay.
I'm still fucking strong.
Very fucking strong.
I'm not scared. I beat Baldur's Gate too.
Fine. That's fine. Next, it's you, Val.
Okay. So, okay, just to be clear, I'm kind of in the rear, right? Like, we've already explored this corridor.
Yeah, so you guys walk down this hallway, and there is another hallway that...
off to the left.
That joins into this one, yep. Off to the left. And Mordecai and Giovanni just kind of did a quick turn rushing down there without, you know, really thinking about what might be down at the end of it. You're still stuck in that hallway looking at them, now running into something.
Gotcha. Okay, first things first, I want to summon a bear totem and place it in this hallway with us.
Yeah.
Specifically back up kind of Giovanni, but I think the radius should do everybody. Or at least Mordecai and Gio.
Okay.
What does that do again?
Yeah, what does that do?
The bear spirit grants you and your allies its might and endurance. Each creature of your choice in the aura when the spirit appears gains temporary hit points equal to 5 plus your druid level. In addition, you and your allies gain advantage on strength checks and strength saving throws while in the aura.
Ooh.
There we go.
Yeah, that's a little more buff than I remember, actually.
Little advantage. Always helpful.
So where are you putting it exactly?
Kind of beside Geo, kind of by that skull of that creature on the floor, I guess.
Okay, so Geo's on the left-hand side of this hallway. There's about 5 feet on the other side of him before Mordecai's there. So you're just kind of putting it in this space between Geo and Mordecai.
Yeah, so I still get an action then, right?
Okay, yeah, so that's a bonus action. And you said it was the bear spirit. So Geo and everyone else, including yourself, I suppose, gained 11 temporary hit points.
Yes!
Wow.
Fuck you, necrotic damage. Shit's weak.
Not bad.
Right on. Okay, and then as for, I guess a move?
Maybe.
Sorry, can I see these? Well, I was thinking about blocking the hall is probably the smartest thing to do if they're going to rush us, right? Is my thinking, but, man, I don't know. It's fuck it. Moonbeam.
Fuck yeah.
So, I'll cast that.
Is this the Moonbeam
at...
team?
No, this is that dungeon crawler vibe, I think.
Okay, place the measured template.
Ooh, in case they keep scrapping at Geo, I want to just put it, like, there.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Yeah.
Let's make a kill box.
Yep, that's, that's what I'm thinking. Bring it on, suckers.
All right, so, Moonbeam, they have to do...
When a creature enters the spell's area for the first time on a turn or starts in there, it is engulfed in ghostly flames that cause searing pain and must make a constitution saving throw. Takes 2d10 radiant damage.
For the first time on a turn or starts its turn here.
So is it?
Yeah, so I think it does affect it now.
Right on.
When a creature enters the spell's area for the first time on a turn or starts its turn.
Which would be my
there.
Turn in this case. Yeah, I don't know if we played it like that in the past, so yeah, I'll take it.
So they will have to do that constitution saving throw.
And hopefully if it's necrotic, maybe it'll take some bonus damage.
So it rolled an 8.
It's not going to cut it, I don't.
No, I don't. I dare say it will not cut it.
If you would be so bold as to say that.
If I would be so bold. What type of damage is it again?
Radiant.
It is.
Is it radiant?
Radiant damage on a failed save.
I'm going to be throwing Reliant a lot of radiant damage in this fight. Right now.
Shadow going to come steal your strength, did you?
The dick move.
Oh, that probably didn't feel very good.
Not at all.
He probably feels... Geo probably feels like he had COVID.
Twice.
Oh.
Okay, so it's radiant damage. So it rolled an 8. How much damage does it end up taking?
That's a... Val rolls a 10.
Okay, they take 20 damage.
Oof.
And that's my turn, I guess.
Okay. Next up is Giovanni. Giovanni, you have this dark creature in front of you. What do you do?
The same thing I always do. I'm just going to attack him with my longsword.
All right.
Also, as like, I don't know if this is table talk or bonus action territory, but I'd like to imagine I've dropped the torch.
Sure.
That's just on the ground now.
Okay.
Let's attack. How did we do? 10 and 10. Those are 10 no good. 10 and
10. You swing at the shadow in front of you, Giovanni, and it just moves around your blade. Both swings.
God damn it.
It just kind of disappears from where you swung and reappears as soon as the blade is gone.
Oh, I gotta do something as a bonus action. I can't do nothing. I don't know if there's anything I can do, though. Fuck. Yeah, no, there's nothing I can do. All my spells are very reactive to...
Can you you brace yourself? Or can you...
No, he already used an action.
No, I'm just action. Looking to see if I have any bonus actions that I'm not using. I'm so pimp in other ways, though. So, I guess that's my turn. Shit. Sorry, guys.
Okay. Next up, a pair of red piercing eyes from the right-hand side of this room come rushing towards you guys. And it enters Moonbeam, so it's going to have to make that Constitution saving throw.
I just have to survive it long enough, blocking them from passing through the Moonbeam.
For the Moonbeam to fry them.
Yeah.
It rolled a fucking nat one.
Okay.
All right.
So is that critical damage?
All right. Yep.
All right.
Yep. Do some damage there.
You cast it at the second level too. Right? Yeah.
That's 33.
Amazing.
All right, these red eyes come rushing towards you. They enter the Moonbeam. You hear screaming and the smell of smoke, and then all of a sudden, nothing rushes towards you.
That's so cool. All
right, next up, another thing in the back of this room comes rushing towards you. Enter Moonbeam Radius, and has to make a Constitution saving throw. It rolled a 16.
16, I think we'll do it. DC.
I think your spell's DC is 14.
Yeah, it is.
Lucky bugger.
It'll work. That's only half damage then, right?
That's half damage, yep.
Alright, well. Rolled a 6, so that'd be a 3.
Okay, takes a little bit of a darkening. From the
singe him a little. Singe him a little.
Singe.
He's probably wondering what happened to his friend.
Yeah, well, it doesn't spend too long wondering what its friend is, where it was a moment ago, because it runs over top of these ashy wood on the floor and passes through. And all of a sudden, Giovanni, looking to your right, you see that there is a shrub, a very aggressive, angry shrub with blackness dripping from its clawed hands.
Ooh.
And it rushes past you and it strikes at Mordecai.
Do I get a opportunity attack? He's moving past
nope.
me.
Nope.
No, or yeah.
No, he's not moving past you. Oh. He's still within range of you.
Okay.
Like he's still in your combat range.
But he's going hard for Mordecai.
He's still in your combat range, but also you only get that is
if we're engaged.
He was in combat okay. with you, and then he didn't disengage.
Okay.
All right. So he scratches at you, Mordecai.
Rake, old boy.
They rolled a 5.
I stumble out of the way successfully.
Hold the line, Mordecai!
What? Where's the line? I don't see it.
It's a 45-degree angle from the entrance to this room.
Oh, okay, I got you.
It's the strongest formation. This is the 45-degree, 90-degree triangle.
Right-angle triangle.
The strongest shape.
All right, next up, another creature in the back of the room rushes forward. Giovanni in front of you, all of a sudden, the shadow just kind of disperses as a object passes through it, and it's a creature, not unlike the one that just ran past you.
What?
And it's standing in the same space as this shadow, and it scratches at you as well.
Does that mean I'm going to be able to hit them 2-for-1? Also, Moonbeam first, though, right?
I'm rolling.
All right, he's got a goddamn... Moonbeam. I forgot about that. 14.
Beats it.
14.
Yep. Yeah. How much damage do they take, Val?
Oh, sorry. Yeah, so half. Sorry, pardon me. So it's 7. I rolled a 14, so it's, 7.
It looks like you already rolled a 6, but I'm not going to complain about
it. Yeah, it does. Yeah.
That's from the last one.
No, the last one.
Sketch.
No.
Sketch.
Oh,
shit.
I see. You thought you rolled 2 sixes, but I think you only thought you rolled 1.
No, because hold on, let me see.
It says 53 seconds.
The last six was 3 minutes ago, and the other one was 57.
You rolled six twice, but you know what? I don't fucking care. Let's move on. So they take the goddamn 7 points of damage. It rushes towards you, and it scrapes at you, Geo.
Oh, let's see what he's got. His little necrotic, grubby hands.
They rolled a 14.
That doesn't do it.
All right. It scratches at you, and you just nimbly evade it. Actually, no, it just probably hits your shield, and then it just kind of slides off very sadly. Mordecai, you're up.
All right, so I can clearly see that these guys have leaves on them. Like, they're up close. One just scratched me, right?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, there's leaves.
There's leaves. And when there's leaves, there's fire.
The classic adage.
Something my father always used to say, where there's leaves, there's fire.
Good, I was...
We're going to do a little dragon's breath here. If I go like that, I can hit all three.
Dragon's breath.
They have to do a saving throw. Dexterity 15.
Wow.
Or take 8 fire damage.
Okay.
I don't think it's a half as much on a failed for this one. I'm also too lazy to read it, so get at me in the comments if I'm wrong.
No, I'll look because I don't want
smash
you
that subscribe button, fam.
Right? Don't forget to like and subscribe. I don't know if you can do that on Spotify, but if you can, that'd be sweet.
You can. I don't know.
Follow us on the thing.
Like, this scene right now is insane.
I really do enjoy that.
Giovanni, I'm going to need you to roll a dex save.
Oh, you can clear. Maybe the back of my ponytail is in the fucking the cone of fire there.
Yeah, because I specifically aimed it to not hit him.
Yeah, come on.
All right, so I'll allow you. Either you make a dex save or your ponytail gets burnt off.
Fuck, dex save it is. Giovanni, if nothing, is pretty vain. Saving throw or ability check?
Saving throw.
You know what? Mordecai definitely didn't cast a careful spell here, so sorry in advance.
I respect that. I respect that.
I was reactive. I wasn't really thinking.
Before I roll, I'm just going to double check to make sure, because I do have that one thing that gives me a bonus on saving throws, I think. Starting at 6th level, whenever you are a friendly creature within 10 feet, must make a saving throw. The creature gains a bonus to the saving throw equal to your charisma bonus modifier or charisma modifier.
Okay, yeah, that applies.
Fuck yes.
So add your charisma modifier to your dexterity saving
Which throw. Is 2, correct? My charisma?
Yep. Okay, plus 2.
Awesome. 14.
Well,
you failed.
Got some interesting news for you. Yep.
So
your hair's intact on the plus side. For whatever reason, it moves delicately around your hair.
Around the flame.
So greasy that the flame struggles to gain purchase.
Weirdly, the grease is preventing it from actually catching on fire. We're not quite sure what that's about. Maybe that's where Senor Clean comes from. But a few creatures do end up taking the hit. One of the shrubs gets hit, the shadow does not get hit, and the other shrub does not get hit, and Geo gets hit. And after reading Dragon's Breath, yes, we do take half damage.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so what am I looking at here?
8 damage.
Okay.
So I take 4?
No, you take the full 8.
Oh. Wait, I take the full 8?
Yeah.
Brandon, is there anything we can do to contest this? No, I guess not.
You made your decision. You gotta, live with it now.
Whatever. I'm down to 3 bonus health. That's okay. I'm fine. I could always just lay hands upon myself.
I mean, wait until all the temp health is gone first.
Oh, yeah, no, I'm not worried about it. These guys are all just gonna die in the moonbeam in the next turn anyway.
All right, next up, the last set of eyes in this back of the room comes rushing forward, and it screams through moonbeam. And it needs to roll a constitution saving throw, because of course it does.
13 or less. 13 or less. Yes.
Yeah, it rolled an 8.
Okay. Right,
what's big money, big money, big money, big money, big money, big money.
Ooh, that's a whammy.
Oh, fuck yeah.
11.
That's good.
Okay. So it takes 22 points of damage, as this is a shadow as well, and it is vulnerable to radiant damage. It comes rushing past out of the moonbeam on top of the shrub that's right in front of Mordecai, and it scratches at you, Mordecai.
Ugh, making a go for us.
I don't know you.
If I can connect with them with my sword, they're going to have to taste the divine power of my holy ability of smite.
They rolled a 9, reaching out towards you, Mordecai.
They don't touch me.
Okay.
It's weird that they are rolling so low.
Yeah, I was really hoping it was going to be more of a challenge when that guy rolled a 20 right off the bat.
Yeah, you got your crit out of the way early
they,
there.
They blew their load real quick.
Yeah, unfortunately.
They did.
It happens to a lot of guys.
It happens to all of us.
Okay, so top of the turn order is this shadow that first attacked you. It is in the moonbeam. It needs to roll a constitution saving throw. It rolls a 12. What do you got for me there, Val?
I'm serving up the pain. Don't you worry. Just a 6. A light ethereal scalding.
All right, they take 12 points of radiant damage, and they just burst into smoke and disappear from the room.
What a severe paper cut you just gave.
Amazing.
Okay, that guy's done. Next up, it's you, Val.
Honestly, I'm just going to hold the line.
Hell yeah.
Da, yep. Na, na.
I love it.
All right, you're not gonna do anything. You're just gonna sit there and just watch these guys burst in the flame in front of you.
I have to keep concentrating on Moonbeam, keep this train moving. So, I mean, I might move back just slightly so that these guys maybe can't reach me, and I don't lose my hair. But yeah, that's about it.
All right, you want to move your character back then?
Yep, right there. That's all I want. There, right there. All
right, so on Val's turn, he takes a step back, and he's so confident that he doesn't even bother doing jack shit.
Joe's gonna go, hold the line!
Hold the line!
Speaking of Geo, it's your turn. You have a shrub in front of you, a shrub to the right, and a shadow to the right.
Despite Mordecai narrowly burning my ponytail off, I am gonna... I think I get a 2-for-1 if I swipe at the shrub with the ghost also attached to it. And Josh, you don't have to tell me. You don't have to tell me if I can or can't. I'm just gonna go for it. And
yeah, I wasn't. I knew it was happening.
I just thought you know. Yeah, longsword to the north of Giovanni.
Sure. So to your immediate right, you swing at a shadow.
Yes. The shrub. I'm gonna aim for the shrub. If I hit the shadow, that's a bonus.
Okay.
You know what? First roll, 17. First attack, that's at the shrub. Second roll is going to be at the shadow. I'll go specific. 25.
Wow.
Okay.
And on the shadow, I'm going to throw a little... I'll do that after I roll for basic damage, right?
You should really, whenever you're going to be using Divine Smite, you really have to say that you're going to do it when you're rolling, so you can't back out once you've already used
That's fair. I thought I made it clear I was going to Divine Smite every attack I connected in this room.
That's a good point.
Yeah. I should definitely be declaring that ability, and I will do so in the future. I'm so fucking sorry.
All right.
So sorry. So I'll roll damage.
I'm sensing sarcasm.
I'm not. No, I am. I'm very sorry. You work so hard. You put all this cool background music into the thing.
It's amazing.
I get so hyped on this right now. All right. So I'll roll damage for that 17, which was the shrub attack.
Okay.
Normal roll. 7.
Super effective.
Okay.
Second roll for
they
damage.
Take that 7 damage.
Second roll is a 9, and then I'm going to add a Divine Smite, and I want to cast it at level 2.
Okay.
6 damage.
Okay.
But it's radiant, so 12 damage.
Yeah, I'm not going to worry about that. The shadow, you swing at the shrub gets hit smack, and you pull your sword along it, and then swing back at the shadow that's kind of hovering in and around it. And the shadow just bursts into flames with a crackling hiss and then disappears.
Man, we're good at this.
Too fucking good at this. You know, did you guys, like, I'm laughing at myself now because originally I was like, these are new monsters. They have some interesting abilities. I'm worried that they might be too tough for the guys. But you guys aren't even breaking a sweat. Jesus Christ.
I was scared shitless. I wasn't too sure where we left off last time, so...
Yeah, I thought you were really gonna...
I went all out. I saw necrotic damage and I got scared, so...
Yeah, I got... Moonbeam. I mean, that first nat 20 that got rolled, I was a little like... I mean, Josh said he was gonna step up the difficulty, but... I don't think you were playing on our kill box.
Yeah.
90-degree triangle. Well, we're on sausages right now, but the 90-degree triangle combat formation was pretty unstoppable.
Next up is the shrub that's right in front of you, Mordecai. It's going to try scratching at you again.
Stop trying to touch me.
It says no. It rolled an 18.
That one hits.
You take 3 points of damage.
So tough. They're so tough, Josh, these guys. So many unique abilities.
Rake.
Don't be rude. He tried real hard.
Love it.
Josh, I'm just trying to get you so angry, man, that you're just like, fuck it, dragon, it's made of stone.
Fuck it, dragon.
He's probably changing the HP behind the DM screen.
Your weapons disintegrate to dust.
Yeah, you guys, you wait for it. You're playing with fire here. Okay. Next up is the other shrub that's right in front of you. Guess what? It's in goddamn Moonbeam. It's going to roll for Moonbeam. I rolled an 8. What's the damage you got for me?
Serving up some pain. Oh, that's no pain. That's a 2.
Okay, you singe it a little bit. It's still not looking great.
Just dry the leaves out a little more.
I think two just...
the leaves are getting pretty dry. They're starting to turn like an orange, kind of red.
I think two just hurts its feelings.
Slightly more combustible at this point.
All right, it's going to scratch at you, Giovanni.
Yeah.
Rolled 19.
Oh, he hits.
Ooh, wow.
Tough guy. Ooh, Mr.
Actually?
Tough guy.
Some rake.
What? You have 20. Your armor class is 20.
Oh, fuck, it is. I'm still taunting him like an asshole.
tough guy.
Hey, Mr. Little tough guy, Mr. Shrub. Giovanni's from Brooklyn now.
Yeah, sure. Fair enough. Mordecai, it's your turn.
Okay.
You got a shrub in front of you and a shrub in front of Giovanni. Magic's just lighting up this corridor. It's fucking insane in here. It's like a rave.
I roll a 17 with my crowbar.
17 hits.
Okay.
Can I divine smite his crowbar?
1 damage.
Wow. All
right, you do 1 point of damage.
I just poked him.
Giovanni, are you implying you want to attack his crowbar with
no,
divine
smite? No, I'm not implying that. Come on, that's silly. I have to declare that before the attack happens.
Ayo. Okay. All right. Next up, Val. It's your turn. Top of the turn order. Guess what? You skipped your turn. Your friends are still fine, and you still have a chance to do jack shit if you want to.
Yeah. Like I'm not gonna do anything. So I just want to. I have to keep my concentration, right? So
well, I mean, you can still do something and concentrate. It just can't be a spell.
You
can have a drink of water. You can
move.
Yeah. I mean, I can. You know, can use, I think I got. I got some incense in my bag. I think I can
light. Huff some paint.
You just reach out your hand towards Moonbeam with the incense in it. You light it up, Moonbeam, and sit back down.
Well, can I make a move or no?
You should be able to move. You can still look at it.
Val, you don't have to do anything you don't want to do. If you want to be a lazy player, just sitting back and letting your teammates take care of these scrubs, you're more than welcome to.
I think he's just goading us because we're wiping out his house plans.
Yeah, I think we mentioned the vials of incense in his inventory. I think I'm just going to throw some past the Mordecai's flamethrower there on what's left of some burning stuff and just whatever.
Put some incense down? Oh, that's actually kind of sweet. I mean, you're a druid. These are plants. I guess that makes sense.
Giving them a funeral.
Yeah, in a way, I feel bad for them being corrupted by dark magic. So
sure. Val skips his turn. Giovanni, it's your turn.
How is the moonlight working if we're in a cave?
That's a real great question. I wish I could explain that one to you. I don't know, but apparently there's no rules about casting Moonbeam underground.
All right. I'm going to try to help Mordecai out here and smash at this guy. And he's not a scary dark shadow, so I'm not going to squander a divine smite. Who knows what else is in this cave? I should probably be a little less cavalier with my attacks. But I'm still going to smash him twice. And I rolled a 15 and a 10. Ooh, Gio is not on his A game today.
Both miss.
Both miss?
Both miss.
These little tree fuckers are fast.
You just try, like, axing your way into this thing's wooden arms, and it just kind of pushes your sword away.
Suddenly, Mordecai's crowbar hit looks pretty good.
Sadly.
Yeah, by comparison, certainly. Next up is that shrub in front of you, Mordecai. It's going to scratch at you again.
You're not my real dad.
It rolled an 18.
It hits me again.
It rolled a 2. 2 damage. Ah! Take 2.
You're using garden implements. It just raked me.
2 damage.
Bye-bye, 2 more temp hit points.
Yeah, oh no, Muffin. Yeah, Ben, don't worry about the moonbeam stuff. Yeah, no, there's no rules. There's literally no... I went on, like, Reddit, and I was looking for, like, are there rules about casting moonbeam underground? And I was like, nope, you can do it.
Okay.
I was like, no, well, that's bullshit.
Mean, like, maybe it's...
If you're casting outside during the day, too, like, it's not like this is actually coming down from the moon.
True,
it's just called moonbeam because it looks like a beam of moonlight.
Sure.
Like, that's how I visualize it, but I think that, like, we like to tweak it a little bit visually in the cinema of our mind, so...
I think so.
Like,
yeah,
we like to see the moon comes out of nowhere, just, like, in the dead of the
sky. No matter where you are underground, a fucking, like, hole in the thing opens up, just like a little pinhole, and the moonlight erupts from the hole.
I like that. Yeah. I like that, actually.
All right, next up, the other shrub that is in Moonbeam, Speak of the Devil. It rolls a constitution saving throw. It rolled a 10, so it's going to take full damage. What do you got for me there, Val?
Serving her up. And that's a 10.
10 points of damage, and it bursts into flames and falls to the ground. Mordecai, it's your turn. You got a shrub in front of you.
Crowbar again. I'm not wasting spells. I don't know what's coming next. 19 to hit.
That hits.
1 damage. Why is it 2 ones in a row?
Solid one.
I even upgraded this damn thing.
You thunk it on the head. You just kind of boop it, and it looks back up at you. The crowbar is still resting on its head.
Well, if I'm booping it, then I'm saying, bad shrub.
Val, it's your turn. You got any more incense to burn? You just want to leave and start doing your own stuff?
You want to leave?
Start looking at pictures on the walls or something? Like,
I mean,
pull out a book to read?
Val is concentrating, because he does. I mean, I have my bear totem going. I'm using a fair bit of magic output right now, so it's not like I'm really not just sitting on my butt, but I mean, I'm holding the line. Hold the line.
Resting on your laurels.
Yeah. But that's about it. I'm just gonna hold the line, morally encourage my comrades, and kind of stay out of harm's way and concentrate hard.
All right. Next up, it's you, Geo. There is a shrub to your right that you have been stabbing at unsuccessfully the past 2 rounds.
All right. Well, when you put it that way, maybe I should try something different. No, I'm just going to stab it again.
Don't worry, Gio. He's drying up pretty fast.
And that's a 19 and 20 for...
They both hit.
5 damage? Not great. And 8 damage, so 13 total.
Okay. You slash into it, your blade comes down, cuts its arm clean off, then you bring it in right underneath its neck and pull upwards, and the head just kind of plops to the side, still connected, but the rest of the creature just kind of slumps to the ground and dies. And that was your challenging combat session, guys.
Oh.
You know what? I think I broke a sweat.
Is that everybody?
That is everybody. Everyone's dead.
Wow.
Everyone is dead.
Jeez.
Okay, there we go. All of a sudden, the spectral bear standing right beside Geo just kind of fizzles into starlight and disappears.
Ooh, nice imagery, Josh. I really like that.
I like that imagery. That was cute.
I like that, yeah.
Great. At the same time, Moonbeam pulls back up into its
pinhole?
Ethereal sky.
Violently.
And the rest of the room goes dark.
Josh,
Giovanni,
are you mad at
you
us?
Can see...
Are you mad at us for being so good at the game?
No, I'm not mad. I'm proud of you guys. That's exactly how I'm feeling. Very, very proud to see how you guys have grown as people and characters. The room is dark. Mordecai, you can see from the glow coming off of your crowbar, and Giovanni, you can kind of make out flickerings of light coming down from the hallway that you're in, leading into the pile of bones and the few remains of shrubs that are still kind of lit in the room in front of you. But everything is quiet.
Can I pick up my map?
I'm going to need you guys to remove your temporary hit points.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Can I restore my strength or no?
Do they disappear at the end of
combat?
Yeah,
your strength.
Or is there a time limit on it?
I thought the way I played with it when I had a warlock was the temporary hit points just stayed.
No, it is
until your short rest, don't they?
It's different. This is not like you're giving yourself temporary hit points. This is
because his totem disappeared. That makes sense.
The spirit persists for 1 minute.
I honestly forgot where they came from, so that's my bad.
Okay. Giovanni, you can sort of feel yourself get stronger. Your health has returned. Your strength, rather, has returned.
Okay, I'm going to pick up my torch.
Cool.
Can I just take a, I'll just take a second, high five?
Who's he high five?
Are we having a Top Gun moment right now? Like
both of them. Kind of a little bit. Woo!
I think we should play some volleyball later.
Man, that was excellent. I'm trying to think of what Gio would say.
Val's not one to gloat, maybe, but I mean, that was a. I don't know if anyone took any damage. Oh, maybe a couple points, but.
Can I move into that main room and, like, investigate the bone piles? And while I'm, like, kicking through them, I'm just thinking to myself, how does a plant eat a living organism?
Sounds like a question for Val.
Well, it's obviously animated by some dark magic, Mordecai.
I mean, I'm very confused right now, and it's hurting my brain.
Should we investigate the remains of this room?
That's what I'd like to do.
You can do investigation checks on the bones in this circular room that you are now in.
Yeah, okay.
You guys also have nature checks if you wanted to, like, investigate the nature of these creatures.
I don't know anything about that, so I'm also just going to investigate the pile of bones. Because I don't know a lot about nature, but I know a lot about death.
Fair.
Yeah, I'll use a nature check on these this big set of bones here on the floor.
I got a 19 for my investigation.
15.
5. Val doesn't even know they're bones.
Yeah, well, no, you know they're bones. That's all they are, though. They are just bones, too. Big bones. No bones about it.
No.
All right. Okay, Giovanni and Mordecai, you guys start looking around the room, kind of picking through the piles of corpses that are on the ground. Looking at the bones themselves, you can see that these are old. They're not new. They're certainly not from the last week, last month, maybe even not last year's. They could be years and years old. You can see that many of them are even starting to break down, rotting. There are claw marks and bite marks on them. But you can see that there are no clothes. There's no items. There's no supplies left in here. But there are a few trinkets that are left.
Ooh.
Baubles. You can see there is one is a ring. It has a rupee on it. It's just left in amongst a pile of bones. You can also find some gold that is not in a pouch or anything in several places. In fact, it's just there's like coins kind of scattered all over the place. And you'd say that there's maybe about, honestly, there's about 200 gold pieces here all in all. Like, there is a big chunk of change, but Mordecai, you pick up on this. Giovanni, not so much. There is no organic matter here. Any of the things left, there's no clothes, no cloth, no nothing. It is all just, like, the only things that have remained are, like, the metal that you might be able to figure out was indigestible.
Oh, okay.
Can I tell that there's gold there at all, or
No, Giovanni, you know about the treasure as well. So this is something that you caught on to that Mordecai also caught on to. So you know that there's roughly 200 gold here. You guys kind of collect it and count up the cash. But Mordecai knows a bit more about, like, the nature of perhaps what happened here than you do.
I'll turn to Gio and be like, do you want the ring or the gold? Or, I mean, I can carry both, you know, deep pockets it whenever, we can worry about it later.
Well, I was going to say, I would love to have the ring. You guys can split the gold.
All right, I'll pick up the ring and on one knee, I'll pass it to him.
Yeah, Giovanni wants to have a whole bedazzled hand of rings. I think it's a good look for a paladin.
That would be pretty dope.
Can I yell out a warning before Gio does anything to it?
Yeah, certainly.
With that ring?
Yeah.
Gio, no! Perhaps detect for evil.
Sure. I don't have detect evil. I have divine sense, but I can,
Yes, I mean, like, I just wouldn't want you to put something on your finger, man, that might just, I don't know, do something crazy.
That's fair.
You know what? I'm just gonna burn a divine sense in this. Can I do a vibe check in the whole room?
Ooh.
Would that also...
I can't wait to make a new class of paladin, like the bro paladin.
Vibe check. Just,
vibe check. It's part of a...
It's a vibe check.
Yeah.
It's a vibe check. It's the same thing.
Your years of weightlifting with the homies have increased your strength score by 2.
All right, yeah. So you burn a divine sense. Giovanni, this entire place, all around you, to the furthest reaches of your perception, which I don't know is what, like 60 feet or something for divine sense, about that, it's all divine. And it is a mixture of different senses. It is a mixture of darkness, but also a mixture of light. It's a weird kind of sensation because these two don't usually meld too well together, but it's kind of like a weird tie-dye effect all around you. This ring in front of you, this ring that Mordecai held out to you and you now holding the palm of your hand, though, seems to have a certain lightness to it. There's something about it that just, it feels light in your hand. It also feels right to you. And you turn the ring over and carved very delicately into the top of this ruby crystal that is sitting right there on top of the gem is a question mark.
Oh, that's so cool. Ooh. Ah, 'tis a divine blessing. The ring has called out to me and I shall now put it on. I equip the
You
ring.
Burst in the flame. No, you're fine. You put the ring on, nothing happens. It just feels...
Everything's burned up except for the ponytail.
you're naked, but your ponytail's intact. No, it just feels right on your hand. That's it.
Nice.
Cool. That's fun.
Shall we proceed, party?
All right, yeah.
Okay, the three of you make your way out of this circular room with all the bones in it, and you come into the familiar hallway that you just were in.
Ooh, do we all see that torch down at the end of the hall there?
Looking to the left, you can see that there is a torch at the far end of this room that is lit, and it is shedding some light down. There's a period of darkness right before you enter it, but you can see that it's kind of marking like a beacon at the end of this hallway for you guys.
Does anybody else remember that torch being lit before?
I don't recall even which way we came in, Joe. This darkness has turned me around.
Right behind us. As I'm walking down the hallway, catching up to these guys, is there some sort of a roll that I can make just to delve into my own mind about what sort of anomaly would, you know, only destroy organic matter and leave behind metal and stuff?
Sure, you would have to roll a nature check.
Okay, let's give it a shot. Come on, plus one. I got a 5.
you presume anything that just doesn't eat metal probably wouldn't eat metal.
Fair enough.
That's about, yeah. So that's where you're at with that.
Then I will continue up the hallway, holding my crowbar high.
Okay.
Shining a light for all to see.
You make it to the end of the hallway, and you can see that torch that's just kind of sitting there, resting in its position on the corner of this wall. You can see that the hallway seems to kind of curve to the right-hand side, where it opens up again, and you can even make out the form of another torch giving light off in that area.
Guys, there's another one this way.
Sidebar, Giovanni just realized that ring probably belonged to a dead paladin from his order.
would make sense.
He's just going to keep that thought to himself, but I think it's important that everybody, for the people listening to at home, Giovanni's just like, oh man, I'm pretty bad about this now.
John,
are there any missionaries that just haven't returned in a while?
John did realize there might be a backstory here. Everyone, don't worry, don't get upset.
No stone left unturned.
Josh, as we proceed down this hall, is this blood on the floor here? Is this a blood stain?
Roll an investigation check.
Sure, yeah.
Oh.
Val rolled a 16, investigation check.
Okay, yeah, you can see that is blood, and the blood seems to be fresh.
Ooh, all right.
Certainly not as old as those bones, you would say.
Sure,
It could be a few days old.
Okay, no. Okay.
It's not fresh like somebody got cut like an hour ago. Looks like it could be a few days old.
Sure.
Just smeared at the end of this hallway.
Smeared.
This dungeon is creepy, man.
Okay, so Giovanni, you continue past this corner where the torches are kind of hanging, and you end up entering another room, a larger room, and you can see that there is a pillar to your left and a pillar to your right, and you can see that the one on your left has a torch shedding light from it. It is lit.
Ooh, can I light the torch on my right?
Yeah, sure. So you take your torch and you end up lighting the one on your right as well. You can see that there's a little dock where a torch would rest, and there's one in there that's since gone out, and you light it and you give it a little bit more light to the room.
And I'll explore the room further. Oh, another torch. Might as well light this one.
Okay, yeah, you can...
This is how puzzles work in The Legend of Zelda.
So you've continued down this room, and you can see that eventually there are actually four pillars all surrounding this central, what looks like a circular staircase going down. And on each of these pillars is a place where a torch would rest, and you light each of them respectfully. Well, I assume respectfully.
I want to try yelling out the elven greeting down the stairwell again.
Wait, does it go up or
all
down?
All right, do it.
Sudalath nahin.
The thing that just left your mouth echoes down the stairs, going down, and it echoes and echoes and echoes until you can no longer hear your own words.
Is Valerius ever going to correct my horrible Elvish, or he just thinks
it's
funny?
It's funny. It's you know, it's good temp.
Ooh, there's another torch down here. I just want to light that to you, Josh.
Sure. Okay, you find another torch. At the very bottom of this room, Giovanni, as you continue to explore, you can see that there is a staircase that also descends from here, but unfortunately it looks like the passage has been caved in by a bunch of stones.
Okay.
Dang.
Josh, Val's just kind of meandering around, I guess, the center of the room by the staircase is unblocked. Can I investigate if there's blood on the stairs as well, at the top of the staircase?
Sure. Go ahead.
Thanks. 19.
Yeah, that's blood.
Sure, look at it, be about the same.
It is blood.
Same vintage as the other stuff?
You might be able to make a pretty educated guess that this blood is somehow related to the blood in the hallway just
gotcha.
Outside of this room.
And
it continues to go down the stairs.
Are you going to share that with your party before...
I was about to say, guys, a blood trail, and it's leading down.
Ah.
Sorry, the staircase goes down then, is what you're saying.
It appears to.
It does not go up.
Yeah,
I will lead the way, but first, let me lay hands upon myself, just to give me that,
Oh, gross, man. Can you do that, like...
Sweet.
How many times do we have to talk about
Gio, this? Like, we talked about this. At least go back.
It's part of my religion!
At least go back in the corridor a little ways.
That's fair.
I'm gonna burn 10 and beef me back up to 35. All right, shall we explore further down?
Yeah, lead the way, Gio.
You got your torch.
Mordecai, any observations or...
Final words?
Wisdoms? This place is extremely divine and yet fiendish, I believe.
Hopefully we've dealt with all the fiends.
No, I pray tell, we have not. And I'm down the stairs.
I'm after Gio.
Ooh.
Giovanni, you walk down the stairs and all of a sudden you find yourself in a very small room, but the walls around it seem to have been opened up to something like a cavern.
Ah, a cavern type place. Ooh, what is this I see over here? Can I investigate the shiny things that are on the wall here?
Sure. I just wanted to make sure all of you guys came down here. So the three of you...
You must assemble your party before moving forward.
So the three of you all descend these stairs leading deeper into this labyrinth, and it opens up into a room that has kind of crumbled away and opens into what looks like a large cavern. To the very left of you, you can see that there seems to be some kind of water that is rippling off and reflecting the light coming from your various light equipment, Mordecai's crowbar and Giovanni's torch. And to the right, you can kind of make out some glowing coming from a wall. You can actually see a fair bit of glowing kind of coming from all over this room.
Hmm.
Oh.
I mean, if it wasn't for the blood earlier, this place would be awfully pretty.
And is this water here?
Yeah. Yep, that is all water.
Appears to be.
So you can see that there is what appears, Giovanni, to actually be a... large stream, maybe about 10 feet across, maybe 15 feet in some areas, and it's running down this long corridor that's descending into nothing, into darkness that you cannot see.
Can I attempt to jump to the other side of it?
Sure.
You're gonna jump 10, 15 feet in armor?
Ten feet to the rock that's here, and then another 10 to the end.
Oh, okay.
So, Giovanni, in the middle of this river, you can see that there is a rock, and you're going to try and jump onto it. Can I have you make an acrobatics check?
Yes. Oh, crit fail. God damn it.
Okay, Giovanni, I need you to open up the crit fail table that we have.
Critical failures. Okay.
Yeah.
Did you do something bad? Trip, roll dex, or fall.
Okay. I need you to roll a dex save.
Saving?
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool. So I got a +2 to that. That's that paladin magic. That's what I signed up for. I rolled a 20.
Okay. All right, you jump onto this rock, Giovanni. You slip. You fall backwards into the water behind you. You realize the water is maybe only like 10 inches deep.
Okay, that's really funny. All right, I'm going to continue.
Mordecai just slowly walks past him. You good, bud?
Yes, nothing to see here. Can I investigate this little glowing pool of water here?
Sure.
This was just sparkling when I came downstairs, so I don't know if it's significant or not.
Sure. So you've kind of noticed these glowing structures all over the place as you've walked down here, mostly located at the corners of this cave where the walls start to ascend. Can I actually have your roll an investigation check? So you've crossed this river now. You've found a little patch of what looked like fungi.
Ooh, I rolled a nat 20.
Yeah, these are glowing mushrooms. They're very small, very close to the ground, all kind of clustered together, and they're kind of blue and teal in color, and they're just kind of ebbing and flowing with this weird pulsing light that's coming off of them.
Wow. Don't tell Val.
Ah, perhaps I've seen something like this before at the harbor where my parents were merchants.
Perhaps.
No? No? Okay, damn. Thought you'd give me something more for the voice, but I guess not.
There's well, you did use that character voice, so I'm gonna no. They're glowing mushrooms. If you wanted to know like more about the mushrooms themselves, you'd have to roll a nature check.
Yeah, can I do that?
I just want to ask Valerius if he recognizes these.
Yeah, I'd like to. Here, I'll roll a nature check and see if I know what the hell they are. 10.
Val, you have not seen these types of mushrooms before. You've been in several caves throughout your travels. No mm-hmm. deep, like, underground labyrinths, but you've been in a few caves. These certainly don't, like, look like any mushrooms that grow closer to the ground. And the fact that they're radiating light seems a little unsettling to you.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and you know, I'll relate this to you, of course, but then just kind of don't die. Like, you know, we are maybe in a magical tree.
Mordecai, maybe you might... Like, you went to magic school, right? Maybe these mushrooms might
be an ingredient or something, maybe, that he used to use.
Could be, yeah.
Spells, or maybe you're familiar with the properties.
What would I do for that?
Hey, Mordecai, what do you make of these?
Give me a second and I'll, you know, hobble on over there.
Hey, yo, Mordecai, what do you make of these mushrooms?
Are we all just from Jersey now? Is that what's
I think on? I was maybe trying to imitate hey. Mordecai.
You know what? That was part of my character from the get-go, and I feel like you guys are encroaching.
We got geckos?
They told you I'm from Brooklyn.
He's just in another room crying.
What kind of a check would you like me to make here?
Arcana check.
Yeah, Arcana or history. Arcana, I guess along the line of like if maybe Mordecai had used these when he was... You know, I'm practicing.
No, history is like world history class.
Oh, sorry. Okay.
Not like your personal history. With
oh, gotcha.
Stuff.
Gotcha.
Maybe those botany books in that elvish village might have had some information about this.
Wouldn't that be convenient?
So that's 14.
Okay. So you certainly don't recognize these mushrooms. You haven't used them in your own training at school. But you do know that this is a magical effect that is causing these mushrooms to glow. And after some kind of him and haw, you kind of figure out that it seems to be related to the school of transmutation.
Mm. Okay.
Should we all take one?
I'm going to put one in my pocket for sure.
Okay.
I'm going to Giovanni's going to grab one as well.
Yeah, I'll take one.
With his gloved hand, of
course. Yeah, Val's hesitant, I guess, but nothing happens as the other two.
Val has experience with mushrooms, and he doesn't want to repeat the past here.
But
Val reveals a duffel bag that he begins filling with as many as he can grab.
No, but Val's actually kind of wary. Val is aware that this is obviously a very magical place, but if nothing's happened when the other two take one, I guess I'll take one too.
Well, weird that you say that, because the other two do pick their respective mushrooms, and as soon as they pick them up and remove them from the ground, they stop glowing.
Oh. Okay, well then I won't bother picking one then. And I'll actually just implore my comrades, maybe just leave them be.
Yeah, let sleeping dogs lie.
Yeah, like I don't want to kind of just interfere with the magic of this place.
Okay.
Sure thing.
I'm gonna put mine back and to see if it starts glowing again.
It does not start glowing again.
Slides it into my pocket.
Oh.
Okay.
I'm sorry, Val. I did not mean to disrespect nature.
No worries. Just proceed with caution. Can we venture forth, I guess, a little bit? Like, it's along this stream, or?
Yeah, let's go back to that bridgey thing.
Yes.
So the three of you continue making your way down the stream, and you can see that there is a large, what looks like actually a broken pillar, has fallen over the river here, and the river continues to run underneath it, but it provides you guys a little bit of a bridge to kind of jump over.
Sure.
Okay, so you have decided to cross the bridge. I guess yeah, I won't we'll make you make an acrobatics check to do that.
We'll cross this busted pillar, yeah.
Did we just strong arm getting through an acrobatics check?
Yeah.
Sort of.
I'm sorry, Josh.
That's okay. You can see that the stream starts to run up against a cliff face that ascends up into somewhere, but you can see that there is glowing coming off the top of it. And you continue following the stream down, and you can see that it seems to kind of split. The stream itself continues running straight past you guys, but you can see that there is an opening just to the left of you, and there is light coming from it.
Oh, I'm going to march towards that.
Yeah.
Sure. Go ahead. Move at your leisure, guys.
Oh.
Giovanni, you enter a room, and looking around the room, you can see that there are lights everywhere. There are crystals all around the edges of it, teal, just like many of the mushrooms that you've seen up to this point, and they are just glowing, glowing bright. But you also see other things. You can see that the ground is moving, and you find that, fuck, it's spiders.
No!
Hundreds and hundreds of spiders all over the ground, just making their webs and running around. And in the very back of the room, just on the edges of the light that is radiating off of some of these crystals and mushrooms around the room, is a very large spider, roughly the size of yourself. Roll combat.
Nice.
Oh, boy.
Oh, hell no.
That's five again.
Oh no, swarm. Oh, okay, wow. Oh boy.
19, which is good, so I can run away as soon as it starts.
Kill box.
Giovanni does not fuck with spiders.
Hold the line!
Giovanni, you turn, you look into this room, and there's this just pause. This is just emptiness in the air. You're looking at the spiders look at you.
Eight unblinking eyes.
All of them with all eight of their little eyes?
All thousands of these spiders with their eight eyes each, and they look back at you, and then they start sprinting towards you very, very fast.
Oh, no. I don't like that one bit.
Thank you, everyone, for listening to our podcast. If you're interested in hearing more about us, please follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Anchor, or Patreon as Late and Legends. A special thanks to our patrons this week, Al, Aaron, DJ Seath, Ethan, and Jason. If you're like these very special people and want to support our podcast, join us over on Patreon. And be sure to leave us a review on Spotify and iTunes. That helps us a lot. With that, we'll see you next week.